God. I want you to notice Psalm 121, beginning with verse 1. I'll read down all 8 verses and then bring you the message tonight. The Bible said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Now, friend, you're really getting somewhere when you realize where your help comes from. Bless God, my help comes from the Lord. I'm glad that when I need help, I look unto Him, and He is my helper. The Bible said, my help cometh from the Lord, verse 2, which made heaven and earth. You better settle if God made this thing. If you're one of these evolutionists that believe that it just happened, brother, I'm sorry for you. Yeah. I'm glad I believe in the God that said, let there be, and it was. Yeah. And that created the heaven and the earth. Notice what the next verse said. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. So you don't have to worry about tonight staying awake. Just turn it over to God. He's awake. Bless God. You know, both of you stay up. Say amen. He said, they slumbered many. All right, look at the next verse. The Bible said, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Now, these last two verses, I want you to look at very closely, because I'm going to use those in the introduction. But we're going back to verse 1 after we read these two. Look at verse 7 and verse 8. The Lord will preserve thee from all evil. Now, he didn't say pickle you. Bless God, that'll make you sour. He said, I'll preserve you. Amen. And when you get some preserves, you'll turn to sugar after a while. Say amen. Amen. Bless God, that's what the Bible said. He said, I'll preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. Now notice what he said. Said, the Lord's going to preserve me, and the Lord will preserve his people. Now look at verse 1 again. He said, I will lift up mine eyes on the hills, from whence cometh my help. Here's the psalmist saying, I know where to look. I know when to look. I know when I need help. Praise God, where to look. He said, I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills. I want you to be seated all over the house of the Lord, if you will. I want you to bow your head for just a word of prayer. I'm going to pray and then bring you the message tonight. Father, I thank you for the psalmist. Oh, God, and you were to look in his day. And as we come here on this Wednesday night, I'm glad that we know where to look. I'm glad I'm not looking to this world. I'm not looking to the things of this world. But I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I'm glad tonight, our Father, that you said that the psalmist declared, I will lift up my head. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And so I pray tonight that every one of us may lift up our eyes unto the hills and be blessed. Oh God, this little land is full of sorrow. And if we look around us, we'll be disappointed. But I pray that we'll look unto Jesus. I pray that we'll lift our eyes tonight above the circumstances, above the things of this world. And may we behold Him who is altogether lovely. And we'll praise Him because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want to speak tonight on, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. I believe that that's the need of every person. Brother, we do not look around us. If you look around, you'll be disappointed. Every man that gets his eyes on his troubles and his heartaches, every man that looks at people will be disappointed. But I'm glad the psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. In a few moments, I'm going to give you 5 hills that we need to lift up our eyes to. But first, let me give you the introduction. He said, the Lord will preserve me. I'm glad God is my keeper, and God is my preserver. What a blessing to know. He said, I will preserve thee. And in verse 7 and verse 8, he said, I'll preserve 3 things. Notice he said, I'll preserve thee from all evil. I'd hate to think I served a God that couldn't keep me out of sin and out of the world and out of the devil. I'm glad he said, I will preserve thee from all evil. Praise the Lord. He'll make us pure. He'll keep us unspotted from the world. He'll keep us out of the snares of the devil. And so he said, I'll preserve thee from all evil. Secondly, he said, I'll preserve thy soul. Isn't it a blessing to be preserved? Your soul in the Lord. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest that sail the wild seas no more. What a blessing it is to know that. And then he said, I know he'll preserve my going out and my coming in forever. From henceforth I'll be preserved. Praise God. God, it's good to be preserved tonight. It means to be kept. It means to be guarded. It means to be watched over. And the Lord said, I will preserve him. I'll preserve my people. But tonight, I want you to take take your pencil, and I want you to look at five hills. Five is the number of grace in the Bible. I'm glad, praise God, I believe in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved by grace. Bless God, I'm enjoying grace, and I'm going to heaven by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you say, preacher, what are the hills that we're to look unto? First, we're to look unto the hill of conviction. You say, what hill is that? That's called Sinai, the hill of conviction. And brother, we need that tonight. There's so much of this in this day, milk and toast and up and down, and this business of shaking hand religion. Bless God, we need some old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. I like to be around when men tremble under the power of God Almighty. I tell you, I like to be around when people weep because they sin against God, and they come to that place of Holy Ghost conviction. We'll never have the Bible without conviction. As long as we've got like-heartedness, and as long as we've got men tonight that don't fear God and have no conviction about their sin, bless God, they'll not be a revival. We need to lift up our eyes under the hill called Sinai, because it's the hill of conviction. I'm glad one day I got under old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. I mean, I got so I couldn't eat. I got so I couldn't sleep. I got so I didn't know whether I was going to live or not. But I'm glad I ran to the rock, and I ran to the refuge, and Jesus saved me. You say, preacher, what about the hill of conviction? You know what the Bible says about it in Hebrews chapter 12. Listen to what the book says. There are two hills, there are two mountains. And Moses said, I looked at that mount and did fear, and I quaked, and I was convicted. Brother, he looked at Sinai, and he said it was dark, and there was a tempest on it. And he said it was a hill or a mountain to be feared, because it was so holy. When men got close by, they trembled because of the thunder and the lightning that came from Sinai. And brother, until we in America come back to old-fashioned conviction, there'll be no revival meeting. Conviction like they had at Sinai. I want to show you what Moses said. If you look in verse 22 and verse 21 of that chapter, is what he said. He said, I did quake, and I did tremble, and I did fear when I looked at the awfulness of that mount, of that hill Sinai. You say, why was it so terrible? Because it was such a holy place. If a cow would run up against it, she'd have to be stoned. Oh, that'd be a dark place in her heart. My friend, you couldn't come in to that mountain, touch it. It's called the untouchable hill, the untouchable mountain, because of the holiness of God. My friend, men could not come to Sinai. But the Bible says in the next verse, we're not called to that mount. We're called to Mount Zion. Praise God, the city of the living God, and a heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. I'm called to the grace of God. I'm not called to the law of God. I'm not saved by the law. You're not saved by the law, praise God. You're saved by the grace of the Lord. But the law will bring conviction. And we need some preaching that'll bring some old-fashioned conviction. One of the most amazing stories in the New Testament is about Paul and Silas. The Bible said this down there, preaching at the riverside. And the Lord opened up Lydia's heart, and she came, and she repented. Oh, it was a time when she opened up her heart, as God opened it up, and she received the word gladly. Then they went on uptown and ran into a little girl, and she is a fortune teller. And let me stop her on to say this. Brother, you don't need your fortune told by some witchcraft. All you need to do is read this Bible. It tells you where you have been. It tells you where you are. It tells you where you're headed. Here's my fortune, brother. I'm glad, praise the Lord, for the blessings of knowing that. Hallelujah. And you say, but preach amazed, what happened? She followed Paul and Silas, and the Bible said Paul and Silas turned around, cast the demons out of that little girl, and she got out of that business. Bless God, when you get saved, you'll get out of the business of witchcraft, out of the business of fortune telling and soothsaying. And brother, she got out of that thing. And the Bible said he stirred the whole town up. I wouldn't won't give you a nickel for a preacher. Don't stir the whole damn. Bless God, he'll stir up something. You let a preacher go to preach another, and he'll stir up something. And he stirred up the whole town. They called Paul and Silas and beat the bats and threw them in the prison and said, "We got them now." But they didn't know that about 11:45, that these boys in the midnight hour was going to get a hold of heaven. And they started praying. They started singing. And when they started praying and singing, the Bible said the prisoners heard them. But that's not all that heard them. I'm glad heaven tuned in that night. And the Bible said the Lord sent one angel down, took that jailhouse and shook it all to pieces. And the socks fell off. And the doors flew open. And the Philippian jailer fell out of bed. And he said, "They'll probably kill me. Let these fellas get loose." And so he took out his sword. And he said, "I'm going to kill myself." And when he did, listen to me, brother, old Paul said, "Hey, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Praise the Lord." And the Bible said he lit a candle. Now watch this. He came trembling. You say, what was wrong with him? I want to tell you, he was under Holy Ghost. Fine, our conviction. And brother, when the heavy hand of conviction gets on a man, you're going to have to do something about your sin. You're going to have to do something about your standing with God. And the scripture said he fell down. Bless God, he didn't come standing there chewing them 90 miles an hour. He fell down and cried, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul gave him the right answer. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thine house." What a blessing. But my friend, it was at the place of conviction. Oh, the psalmist said, "I'll lift up my eyes." And so we need to lift up our eyes first to the hill of conviction. Secondly, we need to lift up our eyes to the hill of calling. I'm glad he called me. The sweetest time I've ever had was when he called my name. Oh, bless God, you say, "Preacher, I know he called me." You say, "Preacher, does he call?" Let me show you something. That hill is called Horeb. And old Moses has been on the backside of the desert for 40 years, out of commission, so to speak. And he saw a bush that was burning, and it consumed itself not. You talk about a miracle. Bless God, that's a miracle. And old Moses said, "What am I going to do?" And he stepped up next to that bush, and God said, "Moses, Moses, take off your shoes. The place where you stand, it's holy ground." And brother, he slipped off those slippers, went up close, and God said, "Sir, I want you to go down and tell Pharaoh and let my people go, for I'm coming down to deliver my people out of Egypt into the land of Canaan." And brother, God called Moses. And if God called Moses, brother, he can call you tonight. And God can call me tonight. It's sweet to know how God calls. You say, "How does he call tonight?" By the preaching of the Word of God. I'm glad God chose him. The foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Aren't you glad that somebody preached to you about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad for the man that preached to you about the refuge, the rock of ages? Praise God, he does it by preaching. And then he calls you through this Word. Oh, I'm so glad that time and time again in this Word, God calls, and then God calls through praying, loved ones. Aren't you glad somebody got on their knees and prayed for you in your behalf? And then God calls by the Holy Ghost. Thank God he gets a hold of a man. And you can hear his voice through the power of the Spirit of God. And I'm glad that we can look to the hill of conviction, and then we can look to the hill of calling. I know just as sure as I'm here tonight that Mama didn't call me and Papa didn't call me. Bless God, I heard him. And he said, "Mays, I'm going to call you." And God called me. And what a blessing that is tonight. Little Samuel. Did you ever think about Samuel? He was in the bed. There's an old backslidden preacher named Eli. He couldn't get a hold of heaven. There's a lot of them tonight. Bless God, around Atlanta, can't get a hold of heaven. I like a preacher can ring the bells. Praise God. I like a preacher, bless God, can lead me down to the sweet waters. Bless God, that shall satisfy the soul. I like a preacher that knows how to dial up heaven. And the scripture said that Eli has said to little Samuel, "If God talks to you, tell me what he says, because I can't get a prayer through." Brother, it's a sad day when a preacher and a deacon and a church can't get a prayer through. Brother, it's sad. You say, "What happened?" And little Samuel went to bed that night, pulled that cover up around his head, and God said, "Samuel!" Samuel jumped out of bed and ran down there. He said, "Eli, did you call me?" Eli said, "No. Did you hear anybody?"
He said, yes, somebody called my name. He said, you go back, get back in bed, son. That little old boy barefooted ran back in there, called back up in that bed and pulled his covers around his head. And God said, Samuel, Samuel. And little old Samuel jumped out of bed and ran in there and said, Eli, did you call me? He said, son, you go back. I didn't call you. And the next time you hear that voice, say, thy servant answered thee. And you'll hear from heaven. That little old boy went back and got in bed. I imagine he couldn't wait. He said, Lord, come on now. I know it's you. Bless God, it wasn't Eli. I want to hear from you again. And God said, Samuel, Samuel. And he pulled that cover down, looked up, and said, thy servant answered thee. I'm here, Lord. I've heard your call. It's a blessing, brother, to go to the hill of the calling which is holy and hear God call a man. Thank God he's calling tonight as a hen with her brood. He's calling tonight as that old prodigal father looked out, no doubt, and said, son, come home. I'm glad we need to lift up our eyes not only to the hill of conviction, not only to the hill of calling, but we need to lift up our eyes to the hill of courage. Oh, we've got so many sissies tonight. I want to tell you, we need some Elijahs that'll walk up and say, bless God, Jezebel, you're guilty. We need some men like Nathan that'll walk up and say, vile to man. We need some men like John the Baptist that'll come locking honey out of his mouth and sugar cane out of his hair and stand down there and say, this is a bunch of adulterers. I'm telling you, God's going to judge you. We need some preaching like that, mister, in these days in which we live. It's the mouth, brother, listen to me, of courage. We've got so many sissies today. Not many people will stand up for Jesus and say, I'm his and he's mine. Bless God, we'll tear off. And the crowd will curse and they'll talk about the dogs and they'll talk about something else. And they'll get us off in the corner. And we're ashamed to stand up and say, I'd like to tell you about the dearest friend, praise God, I've ever had. I'd like to tell you about him who loved me, bless God, who gave himself for me, who was raised from the dead, who's coming back again. I tell you, in these days, mister, we need some men that'll have courage to stand. Over in 1 Kings chapter 18, the Bible said, Elijah said, I'm the only one left, God. I'm the only prophet. I didn't see that for a long time. But there in that 18th chapter, he said, I alone am a prophet of the Lord. They had 450 prophets of Baal. They had 400 prophets of the grove, 850-1. They went out there on that mountain, and for all day they bit themselves and spit blood out, and they called upon their God. After a while, only Elijah said, move over. Bless God, get some water and dampen this thing around here. And said, get ready, the fire's going to shoot out of heaven. He said, I know how to get a hold of heaven. He said, I know, and I'm going to stand. And he said, I'm going to pray, and the fire of heaven's going to fall. Now, he took something to stand there, took courage and boldness to stand up against 850 of the bunch of modernists and infidels of that day and say, I'm the prophet of the Lord, and I know the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Brother, it took courage to stand, and we need some of that courage tonight, that we may stand up and let the devil and the world know where we stand. It takes courage. It takes backbone. Bless God, it takes something besides these little mama called papas and preachers. We need some courage to stand. You say, what mountain is that? That's Carmel. The other day, my wife and I rode down by Mount Carmel, that big long mountain. I have tried to imagine what place was it. Well, I just stood up there alone and said, I want to tell you, I'm here as God's prophet. I want you to know the God that answers my prayer. Let him be God. Brother, he had courage. We need some people that look to the hill called courage. Years ago, there's a missionary, and his name was John Huss. And the law enforcement came down on John, knocked on his door, and said, go out there and tell him natives you got saved. Them converts, or those followers. And we're going to kill him, but we're going to kill you first. And old John Huss said, well, is that right? Said, I got news for you. Said, I'll be in heaven before my toes stop wiggling. Say amen right there. Bless God, he didn't have to worry about dying. If you're saved, brother, you're going to leave out of here in a shout of glory. If you know God, precious in the sight of the Lord, it's the death of the saints, and you don't have to worry. If you know God, mister. And they took John Huss out. They said, in the morning, we're going to tar and feather you. Said, you better tell that crowd following you that we're going to burn you to the stake. And tell them they better run. But they marched out there the next morning and said, we're not running. We'll die after he dies, or we'll die for him. And the government said, we're going to burn him to the stake. But we'll give you about 5 minutes alone with him, and then we're going to put you to that tree or that stake, and we're going to set that tar and feather on fire and burn you in front of your converts. And old John Huss called the converts over, and he said, "Children, don't worry." He said, "Everything's ready, and I'm ready to go, and my work's finished." He said, "I can say like Paul, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. Said, bless God, I'm coming down into the runway, so to speak. I've come to the end." And he said, "When they burn me at that stake, if the ropes are burned loose, and if I can get my hand up, if Jesus is in there with me in the fire, said, I'll raise my hand, and you'll know that Jesus is real in the midst of the fire." And when they set that fire to burning, the ropes were burnt loose, but John Huss could not muster enough strength to raise that hand. He slumped over, and those people that were saved under him looked out of the trees and wiped the tears away and said, "There's not a hand in there with him." And then in a moment's time, one of the men cried, "Wait a minute, look again." Said, "Out of the haze and the smoke, there's a hand that's got a nail print in it." Said, "The hand of Jesus is in there. He can't raise his hand, but the hand of Jesus is in there with him." I want to tell you, praise God, that'll give anybody courage to stand. That'll help anybody to know that Jesus said he'd go with us. And the psalmist said, "I lift up mine eyes in the hills, the hill of conviction." Oh, listen to me now. We need it more than we've ever needed. We need the hill of the calling of God. We need the hill, Mr. of Courage. But then I come to the fourth hill, and it's called the hill of his coming. Thank God he's coming back again. I'm glad the Bible said, "Be ye also ready." I remember when I first came to Atlanta, they called me a heretic and a fool. I was on the radio preaching the premillennial return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, "Some golden daybreak, he's coming back again." Oh, Titus says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm glad the book says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." I'll scare some of you dead Baptists to death. But he said, "With the voice of an archangel and the trump of God." Oh, you say, "Brother Mays, listen, Olivet is the place of comfort tonight." You want to comfort somebody tonight? Read him about Jesus coming back. Glory to God. That comforts me. I'm glad he's coming back. He said, "If I go away, I will come again." And thank God, not another. He's not going to send Moses after me. He's not going to send Abraham after me. He's not going to send Elijah after me. And one morning he's going to say, "Father, excuse me, I'm getting up off of the throne where I've been making intercession. I got a little trip to go down in the air and on a cloud." And bless God, three things are going to happen that ought to comfort everybody in this house. First of all, the Lord himself. He's going to come. I've never seen him, folks, but I'm going to see him one morning. Oh, I'm going to see him when he comes in that time for the church. You talk about a shout. Somebody said, "Are you going to shout?" I've got news for you, honey. I can shout thinking about it right now. Because it's real. He's coming back again. And what a blessing. He's coming in the air. Oh, what a wonderful thing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. He tells us, he said, "I wouldn't have you ignorant, brethren. You ought to be stupid about this thing. That the Lord's coming. He's coming again. One of these days. Oh, ever Luster's going to wake up. Bless God in Christ. Oh, he's coming. Every old bullfrog's going to go, he's coming. Every cow's going to low, he's coming. I want you to know the saints of God are going to leave the world in a shout because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. I stood there the other day where his feet, last place his feet stood. And then a cloud received him out of sight and took him into heaven. And zoomed in and white apparel. Thank God, sent down from heaven. Said, "What are you fellows here so mystified? Why are you so particular and weeping over this thing?" Said, "I want to give you some news." Said, "As you see him go, he'll come again." Woo! Praise God that he's coming back. And he's going to do two things. First, he's going to unlock every grave of every saint that's in the Lord. The Bible said the dead in Christ. You remember when you put your mama out on there and turned away and had to walk away in that old cold grave, left her there. You remember when you put your dad down in that old ground, had to walk away. And, oh, you said, "Lord Jesus, I've got a comfort. Glory to God. Some golden daybreak, he's coming. And my daddy's coming out of there. And my mother's coming out of there. And my little girl's coming out of there. And my son's coming out of there. I want to tell you that's a comfort. Not only that, but listen, when Brother Virgil told about the two preachers' boys tonight and all of the suffering, you know what I thought about? I thought about, brother, when that trumpet sounds, that little boy won't need that old thing. It cost so much money. Bless God, listen to me. Leave that alive remains shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. There won't be a crippled man in the rapture. Woo! There won't be a blind man in the rapture. There won't be a man that's got cancer in the rapture. Bless God, we'll have new bodies, and we'll rise to meet him in the air. And what a joy that's going to be when Christ shall come for the church.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be a wonderful time. It comforts me. It comforts me. Oh, what a comfort. I remember about 5 years ago, I got up, went out of Calvary. And then I waited till the afternoon when the sun was setting. I went up there on that mountain and looked at the sun set over Jordan. Down 19 miles, when it's a clear day, you can see Jordan River. And I saw the sun set down over Jordan. And I thought, my, what a day that's going to be when the sun rises in the morning. The sun's coming up in the morning. Oh, that's my comfort, folks. I'm not talking about the S-U-N. I'm talking about the S-O-N. It's coming in the morning. He'll rise with healing in his wings. I'm glad the Bible teaches us. I lift up mine eyes out of the hills, for thence cometh my help. I'm glad I can be comforted. I can look to that hill of comfort. It's called Olivet. It means the comfort of God's people. And praise God, it'll split open one day. The Bible said half of that mountain will go one way, half of the mountain will go another way. And it says the waters that will refresh the soul will come out of that mountain. And bless God, the Bible said that that old gate over there called the Eastern Gate, it's going to open up, and the Prince and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to ride through that. Hallelujah. And we're going to play through that city. There's the Son of God. So you talk about a time, brother, that blesses me tonight. No wonder the psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes out of the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. I'll lift up my eyes to the hill of comfort. Let's meet in the last one. Number 5, I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hill of cleansing. We're all dirty. We need cleansing. And I'm glad I know a hill. Praise God, just outside Jerusalem. It's a hill of cleansing on a hill far away. Stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I'm glad that sinners plunged beneath that flood with all their guilty stain. I want to tell you, it's blessed to know that you've been to the hill of cleansing, brother. What a wonderful thing it is. Matthew chapter 8 tells us Jesus came down off the mountain, a great multitude of people followed him. But in the crowd was the poor leper. He couldn't go with the rest of them. He was dirty. I mean, he is excommunicated. He had sores. Incurable. You see, leprosy is incurable. Now, I think my wife and I have been to Honolulu 5 or 6 times. I know 5 times. But they got one island in the chain of Hawaiian Islands where nothing but lepers live. And I want to go there where I can see lepers. I saw them in Africa one time. They were pitiful looking, old sores that oozed out, all the pus coming out. Their fingers gone, their toes gone. Some of them had their noses gone. But one day Jesus came over the mount. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, there was a poor leper stepped out, and the Bible said he fell down and worshipped him. Oh, he knew the cleansing. And he said, if thou will, thou can cleanse me. And Jesus reached out and touched him and cleansed him. And praise God, he went away cleansed. I'm glad that a sinner can come to the mount of cleansing and praise God beneath that blood. He can be cleansed from his sin. He can be cleansed from his iniquity. He can be made a new creation in Christ Jesus by the cleansing blood of the Lamb. Now, let me show you something. In the Old Testament, when a leper came, he came to the tabernacle door, and he knocked on the door. And the priest had come to that door. When he come to that door, I know I've read a lot of fellows, and they say that the leper held up his hand and said, cleanse me. I don't believe it is. All I believe that old sinner did, that old leper did, was hold up his hands. had preached him what he needed. Brother, when you come to Jesus and hold up that old dirty life, he knows that you need to be clean. And praise God, his blood can make you white as snow. You say, Brother Mays, his blood can make you white as snow. You know what that man did? That leper fell down. He laid there. Can you imagine it? Lying there and all those old leper sores all over him, waiting. And inside, a priest went over where he had two birds. This is called the law of the leper, the cleansing of the leper. And boy, I'm so glad when I was a leper, sinful, wretched, I came to the priest that had the cleansing fluid. Oh, you say, Brother Mays, what did that priest do? He came there with some running water, and he took two little birds. And first he took the first little bird. This is Leviticus 14. And he took that first little bird and looked on its little legs and wings and behind its head and under its neck, and didn't find a spot and a wrinkle. You see, when you make a sacrifice, listen, it's got to be pure and it's got to be without spot. That's the reason when Jesus came, he was without spot. Amen. And without wrinkle, he was the Lamb of God. Oh, there wasn't any guile, there wasn't any corruption, there wasn't any sin, he wasn't dirty, mister. You say, what did that priest do to that bird? He reached over and took a knife and cut his throat. And then he took that bird and squeezed the blood out in a basin. And when he squeezed that blood out in a basin, he laid that little old lifeless bird down. And then he went over and took that living bird and looked under it to be sure it was pure. And then he took that living bird and held two parts of it, its wings and its feet, and wrapped him up in that blood, soaked him in that blood. And then he walked out, that priest did, and kicked that door open. And when he kicked that door open, he let loose of the little wings, and the bird started to flutter. And as the bird fluttered and the wings moved, the blood fell on that leper. And when that little bird quit its fluttering, you know what? That leper jumped up and said, I'm clean. I'm clean. I've been made white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, my leprosy is gone. My sin is gone. And he ran down the street. Everywhere he met somebody, he said, I want to tell you. That's why Jesus told that leper, said, don't tell anybody. Go to the priest. Because in the Old Testament, brother, when they were cleansed, they went down the streets. They couldn't keep it to themselves. They said, clean. Clean. Thank God. I'm clean. I'm clean. You say, what did that priest do? He took that little living bird where the blood had fluttered off its wing, took him out in the field, and let him go away into heaven. You say, what's that a type of? It's a dead bird. There's a sinned bird. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. And someday he's coming. Oh, glorious day. No wonder the man said in the Psalms, he looked up and David and said, get back. I'm going to lift up mine eyes on the hills. From which cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. Have you lifted up your eyes to the hill of cleansing? What a blessing it is. Years ago, my mother used to wake me up in the morning up in the mountains, and she'd sing a song like this. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. I never will forget that. And the first time I went to Jerusalem many years ago, I climbed up that hill of cleansing. I kissed the ground. I got two little locks for my baby boy Dale. He said, don't forget me. And I kissed the ground where the blood came down. And I went down there like the leper and said, cleansed. I've been cleansed. Thank God. I've been to the fountain. I've been cleansed, brother, tonight. I'm glad you can lift up your eyes. Out of the hill of cleansing is called Calvary. And though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be as wool. And you too can leave here tonight and say, I've seen that hill. I've been there, and I've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been made whole, thank God. He said, I lift up my eyes. I see it yonder, a cleansing fountain. I see it yonder. Thank God it's a place where a man can be washed whiter than snow. I see it. No wonder he said, I lift up mine eyes. I see it, a cleansing fountain. Every head bowed, every eye closed over the house.